Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Good morning, 811 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Julio Diaz joins us now. He's the host of Let's Go Pensacola, 4 o'clock on Saturdays, and the Pensacola Movie Club on Facebook and in person at the theater. Julio, welcome back, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
It's been like 3 weeks, man. Good to talk to you. So we're going to catch up a little bit this week. New out today or last night, you guys saw Bottoms. How is it?
I don't know if it's the best movie of the year, but I think it's my favorite movie of the year.
Oh, wow.
This movie
All right.
is hilarious. The funniest thing I've seen on the big screen in probably at least 2 years.
Wow.
In some ways it is a classic teen sex comedy in the vein of like 80s movies like Porky's or, you know, that kind of thing, but with a huge dose of satire poured all over it and from a female LGBTQ perspective.
Gotcha.
So it's got elements of a movie like Porky's, got like the over the top elements of a movie like Rock and Roll High School. The satire of a movie like Heathers with the more modern attitude of something like Superbad.
Okay, so stop selling or we're going to have too high of an expectation.
I honestly don't think I'm overselling it. It is very raunchy, but it is very funny and still has a lot of heart. The cast is fantastic. Everybody's good in it, including, to my huge shock, in a supporting role as the teacher. That the story here is that there's these two young women who are desperate for sex, who've never, you know, they're high school seniors, have never had sex. They're desperate to get with the pretty girls. They don't want just the ugly girls. They want the cheerleaders. And through like the set of circumstances, people think they went to juvie over the summer, and they use that to start a fight club to empower women and teach them how to defend themselves.
In order to
their ulterior motive is to get with the cheerleaders. But
got it.
It ends up working, and these women find themselves empowered. They get their teacher to sponsor them. Their teacher, who is this completely inappropriate guy going through this divorce and literally reading porn mags in class.
So this is a full-blown adult film, but is hilarious at the same time and sounds like a great premise. Okay, all right.
Well, no, wait for it. Played by Marshawn Lynch.
What?
Who is great.
The Seahawk?
The running
back? Hilarious.
Okay, all right. All right, wow.
No, everybody in this movie is great. It is hilarious. It is, like I said, I mean, Oppenheimer is probably technically the best movie of the year, but this is my favorite movie of the year. It's really funny, and I think it's going to really stand up to repeat viewing. And I think when people discover this movie, they're going to fall in love with it. And I don't think, if you're thinking, oh, LGBTQ, no, this is a movie for everybody. This is a movie that everybody can relate to, and it just happens to be that the two lead characters are lesbian.
All right, well, we're just going to have to do a thumbs up, thumbs down. Equalizer 3? Because we're out of time.
It's getting decent reviews, but man, I'm just burned out on Denzel Washington taking the Liam Neeson route.
The first one was quite good, the second one, and then, okay. And then you and I haven't had a chance to talk about Blue Beetle or Gran Turismo. I loved Gran Turismo. Blue Beetle, the huge favorite character of yours.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the film. You know, it's gotten pretty good reviews, and I think it deserves them. It is a little bit beyond the standard superhero fare. It's got a good heart to it. Good family, the support of the family that he has in this movie is what really kind of sets it apart.
Well, that's
everybody's good at it, including, to my surprise, George Lopez, who I don't usually like. He's very fun.
Okay, well, lots of good opportunities at the theater this weekend. What are you guys going to watch next week?
Not sure yet. When I find out, you'll see it on the Movie Club Facebook.
Very good. That's where you should follow him and find more information on Facebook, the Pensacola Movie Club. Check him out tomorrow. Let's Go Pensacola at 4 o'clock. And he will actually be here in about 15 minutes for the wrap. Julio Diaz, my friend, thanks for the time, sir. We'll talk to you in a little bit.
All right. Thanks, Andrew.
8:16 on News Radio 92.3. The Transgressors Memorial Service is up next. Candy's got traffic for you.
Watching, it's a bad accident. The median kind of at I-10, and it's blocking both east and westbound. I'm just double-checking this. It's near the Pine Forest exit. That's where the accident happened. And then another accident happened as they were trying to help this one accident. So that's in the median, but it looks very, very, very slow between the 9 Mile/Beulah exit, exit 5, and then exit 10 in Carr City. And that's east and westbound where it's very, very slow and blocked in that area. Now, those are the only slowdowns I'm seeing, but we do have several accidents to watch out for where it is slowing things down. 9 Mile and Fowler, a little slow getting onto 9 Mile because of that. Johnson and Olive showing an accident. Mobile Highway in Michigan showing an accident. Blue Angel and Highway 98 showing an accident. In Navarre, in Gulf Breeze, Gulf Breeze Parkway, Redfish Point Road, and Breezy Wind Drive, and Gulf Breeze and 98 showing an accident there, but not a roadblock. But we do see a roadblock at Highway 98 and Portside Drive, which is near Garcon Point Bridge. So use caution, once you get off Garcon Point Way. If you see an accident or a slowdown, you have a traffic tip, text in it if you could, 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Wake up, people. You're optimizing every waking hour of your life. From carpooling kids, to work, to friends, and everything in between. You have to get sleep. And a bed that can perform as well as you do. Meet the next generation Sleep Number Smart Bed. It effortlessly adjusts to your shape, position, and movements. Learning how you sleep, so you learn to sleep better. Night after night. Sleep next level. Only from Sleep Number.
Don't miss our Labor Day special. Save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed. Plus free delivery when you add a base. Ends Labor Day.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknights at 7 after Pensacola, right now with Joe and Gracie on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
The first remembrance this week is for Bradley Cooper, who is making Maestro, a biopic of legendary composer Leonard Bernstein. By what right does one of the world's most obviously Caucasian actors presume to portray a Jewish man? Not only is this 100% white Anglo-Saxon Cooper playing one of the world's most famous Jews, but in so doing, he actually stole the role from Jake Gyllenhaal, who actually is half-Jewish. And he put on a prosthetic nose, cartoonishly reinforcing the anti-Semitic trope about the largeness of Jewish schnozzes. Bradley Cooper couldn't be less Jewish if we caught him eating bacon while planting mixed crops on the Sabbath. Now, we are aware that the surviving members of Bernstein's family are actually in support of Cooper over Gyllenhaal for the role, and also that the producer who owns the rights and hired Cooper to direct and star in the role is none other than Steven Spielberg, himself both Jewish and a victim of anti-Semitism in his childhood. But why would we care what actual Jews connected to the facts of the story think when we non-Jews are capable of being offended on their behalf at a distance? Do you not remember Antonelli's second postulate? The man who is not directly affected by an offense is thereby more pure in his public outrage precisely because he has no personal experience to guide him. And yes, we know some people have been saying that the entire enterprise of acting involves people pretending to be something they are not. But the rules are always different for whitey, especially male whitey. Allowing the oppressor to portray the oppressed is not a profession, it's a form of cultural appropriation and violence. The only time someone is allowed to act outside their demographics is when they're a minority replacing the majority. That's why it's perfectly okay to have Halle Bailey portray the Little Mermaid, or Natalie Portman portray Thor, or Neil Patrick Harris portray the heterosexual slut Barney in How I Met Your Mother, and yet, wait for it, why the iconically Aryan Bradley Cooper must not be allowed to put on his Jew face and portray Leonard Bernstein. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, the Illinois legislature and Governor J.B. Pritzker. Now, I know this may come as a shock to you, since Pritzker has been consistently running his state into the ground in devotion to our cause. But he recently made such a catastrophic blunder that we must at least put him on double secret probation for now. As ABC News reported, Pritzker last year signed an assault weapons ban that, quote, prohibits assault weapon attachments, 50 caliber rifles, or 50 caliber cartridges, the type of semi-automatic weapons used in many mass shootings around the country, end quote. What we particularly admire about this law is the bold way it prohibits people from owning 50 caliber guns like the Barrett M82A1 anti-materiel rifle, which is designed for use against buildings, trucks, and parked airplanes rather than people, and despite what ABC News says, does not appear to ever have been used in a mass shooting. You see, the Barrett 50 cal is scary looking, and just because it is scary looking, it's vitally important to outlaw it. But just think of all the other scary things this law completely fails to ban. What protection is there against the M203 grenade launcher? What about the M252 81mm mortar? And as you begin to survey the kinds of weapons this law rather obviously fails to ban, you begin to see the problem. This seemingly bold legislation is nothing more than a cowardly capitulation of the military-industrial complex, which has been supplying death-dealing armaments to would-be mass murderers in this country for years, and this law does nothing to stop them. There's no ban on high-capacity 122mm smoothbore cannons. There's no mention of 152mm howitzers, especially the concealed carry version with the extended magazine and barrel shroud so popular with convenience store robbers. It doesn't ban grenades, bazookas, javelins, stingers, claymores, or JDAMs. It doesn't even mention the Gauss Avenger 30mm Gatling gun or the Vulcan rotary cannon, and the MX missile was completely left off the list. So it may seem helpful for states like Illinois to join California, New Jersey, and the District of Columbia in banning 50 caliber rifles, but until they're really willing to get these commonly used actual weapons of war off our streets, I'm sorry, but your efforts are inadequate. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And finally, we want to express our strongest congratulations to the Reams California bakery chain in San Francisco, working so hard to eradicate gun violence from their city by refusing to serve police officers and members of the military armed and in uniform. As the chain explained, Reams has a deep commitment to uplifting social and racial justice in our communities. This includes fostering an environment of safety for our staff and customers in a time of increased gun violence, particularly impacting people of color, youth, and queer people. We believe that maintaining a strict policy of prohibiting guns in our restaurant keeps us safer. Now, some have said this amounts to discrimination against the police and the military, but nothing could be farther from the truth. All Reams is doing is being consistent about their dedication to create a completely gun-free zone in their stores, which will, of course, mean a violence-free zone in their stores. Now, we know some gun fanatics will foolishly criticize Reams by asking what they'll do if a criminal comes inside with a gun to rob the store. But of course, this ridiculous hypothetical ignores the demonstrated power of a sternly worded sign on the front door saying guns are not allowed on the premises. Let no one underestimate the power of a paper warning boldly written in 24-point Courier or Helvetica, or if they really want to use their literary power, Ariel Black. Yet, as every mass shooting at a school in this country over the last 10 years has shown, the real problem has been a failure to provide adequate signage telling would-be assailants to stop and rethink their life choices. If only this country could be more committed to using words on paper on windows instead of resorting to nightsticks, tasers, and firearms, we could be so much better off. And there's something wonderfully elegant in the way Reams is working to protect the delicate psyche of its customers and employees, many of whom would suffer fear and anxiety at the mere sight of a firearm in their presence. So to avoid triggering these people, Reams is simply banning triggers. Problem solved. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
This week after the service, there will be no refreshments. As we learned just this morning that the chicory coffee we thought had been ethically sourced from the socialist haven of Nicaragua was actually produced in neighboring Costa Rica on a privately owned farm with no government oversight whatsoever. As soon as we found out, we immediately threw the beans in the garbage to protest this travesty. We apologize for the inconvenience.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
Dude.
8:25 on News Radio 92.3.
I'm still on the ethnically sourced coffee beans.
Ethically sourced.
Oh, ethically. I'm sorry.
Ethnically sourced.
I've been getting stuff wrong all morning this morning. Thanks, Rick. No,
tell
just kidding.
Tell us about the traffic, Candy.
Okay. There was a bad accident and still is. As I understand, it's in the median, and it was blocked. This is I-10 eastbound and westbound. It's in the median now, but it was completely blocked and very, very slow from about the Beulah exit, exit 5, to about exit 10A at Carr City. Now it looks like that has narrowed just a little bit, so it is very slow. It is starting to move. It's finally clearing up, and that's the main problem this morning. That said, there's several accidents. Blue Angel Parkway, and Highway 98 showing an accident this morning. Possible roadblock at Portside Drive and Highway 98 right after the Garcon Point Bridge, right before it, near that Walmart and Golf Breeze, the big one. 9 Mile and Fowler showing an accident. A little tough getting on to 9 Mile after that this morning. Again, I-10 and Pine Forest is where the accident was originally, and it is still very, very slow in that area, both east and westbound. Johnson and Olive showing an accident this morning. And I think that's it so far. Now, if you have traffic tips, text 437-1620. Be careful. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
You know, if you're in the market for the next vehicle, Frontier Motors, you hear me talking about them. Dave Ramsey talks about them. A great place to buy good quality used cars. And I say that on purpose because I know sometimes you hear the term used car dealer and you might think, well, that's cars that are like, you know, they're 15 years old and they're trying to make it seem like it's only 11 years old. Like, you know, that's the kind of place you go into. And that might be some places, but that is not Frontier. Frontier is the other end of the spectrum. They're the 1, 2, 3-year-old cars in great condition. Ours was a 12,000-mile Honda Odyssey that we got, came back off a lease in Orlando. They couldn't sell it for whatever reason at the dealership, so they auctioned it. Frontier bought it, and we got a smoking deal on a car that was only a year old in almost new condition. And that's what they specialize in, almost new. So instead of thinking of them as the used car place, think of them as the almost new car place, and they really are. Frontier Motors, 300 different cars and trucks on the lot at any moment. Try as many as you like. Serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. Oh, I will tell you, my son was my technical consultant on the middle one for the
all the gun stuff.
Because he told me, he's like, no, Dad, you want to use the 152-millimeter howitzer, not the 155. I'm like, okay, whatever you say, son, you're the expert. Especially if it's the concealed carry version with the barrel shroud. I know not everybody's going to know all of those terms, but I know you military folks are dying when you hear those, and I appreciate that. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
A police report has been filed against rapper 50 Cent after he allegedly threw a microphone into the crowd at a concert in Los Angeles. TMZ says a radio host there in L.A. filed the report after she got hit in the head. Apparently, he suffered some type of laceration.
Did you see the picture of her?
Yeah, it was
bad.
Yeah.
She looks terrible as her. I mean, just like, I don't know how one microphone did all of that, but yeah, it's bad.
And it appears he was frustrated after being handed several mics that didn't work and then launched it into the crowd. The radio host says 50 Cent looked at her before throwing the microphone. His lawyer denies that. Georgia planning to broadcast former President Trump's trial live on YouTube. The judge made that decision yesterday. And if you missed out on Taylor Swift when she went through Florida for her Eras tour, there's another option to see the show starting in October. They're going to be releasing the concert in theaters.
You sort of have to go back to like Star Wars and big Marvel film releases in terms of virtual queues for movie tickets.
Billboard executive director of music Jason Lipschutz, and the video of the Eras concert is going to be released in all AMC theaters. They say it'll play 3-4 times a day starting October 13th.
I am confident that Taylor Swift fans will go to this show for
yes,
sure.
Yes, I'm sure confident. They will.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 8:30 here on News Radio 92.3. Coming up in just a moment, we're going to have the wrap. That means we'll have Julio Diaz and Christian Wagley. And by the way, congratulations to Ron Acuna Jr. of the Braves.
Ronald Hammers it to left center. That ball is history. Junior just made history.
A grand slam in LA that gives him 30 homers and 60 stolen bases, the first person to ever do it in Major League Baseball.
News. I'm Paul Stevens. Former President Trump pleading not guilty in the Georgia election interference
From
case.
From here, we actually get to litigate the case, which as an attorney, I look forward to. I know our legal team does as well, to getting to take our own turn at looking at all of the information and our own turn to put our side out, which is something that everybody needs to remember. It has not happened as of yet.
Trump legal spokesperson Alina Habba on Fox. More reaction to Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell's latest freezing episode in front of reporters.
Right now, the Senate is the most privileged nursing home in the country. I mean, you know, Mitch McConnell has done some great things, and he deserves credit. But you have to know when to leave. That is why I'm strongly in support of term limits in this country.
GOP presidential candidate Nikki Haley on Fox. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, 80 degrees. It's partly cloudy in Pensacola this morning. A Dollar General store in Milton damaged today after a vehicle that was running from Santa Rosa County deputies reportedly smashed into the side of the building. Happened about 1:30 this morning on Avalon Boulevard. FHP says the vehicle had been called in as a possible reckless driver. A deputy was trying to stop the car, but it fled. The vehicle then ended up hitting the east side of the Dollar General at 4148 Avalon Boulevard, I believe, causing substantial damage and exposing the exterior wall. When deputies arrived at the crash site, the occupants of the vehicle had already fled the scene on foot. Heartbreaking news this week. Damage from the storm surge caused by Hurricane Idalia washed out several sea turtle nests along our coastline. According to the News Journal, four of the turtle nests between Pensacola Beach and Navarre Beach were damaged, and at least 13 nests were destroyed in the Gulf Island National Seashore due to the rising waters. And that's just tragic news there. Sea levels were estimated to have reached 11 feet this week after Idalia made landfall around the Big Bend area. The couple charged in that fatal incident at the Mugs and Jugs bar on Scenic Highway just over a week ago have now both pled not guilty. 25-year-old Christian Ketchup and 23-year-old Rachel DeRise were both in court this week. Ketchup is charged with murder for allegedly shooting Tierra Binion multiple times after she got into a fight with DeRise. DeRise is facing assault charges. Both Ketchup and DeRise requested a jury trial. They'll both be back in court later on this month. Brentwood Park, a popular spot among the local homeless population, now closed for construction. The county building a new tax collector's office at the park. County Administrator Wes Moreno says that new office will be a great thing for the neighborhood.
It's going to be a tax collector's office. It's going to have a meeting room. It will still have some green space and playground equipment. And we'll look for that to really transform that area right there.
And the county on a tight timeline to get the building done as well. Moreno says the current office on W Street's lease is up at about the same time that new building should be completed. He says so far, though, he hasn't heard of any major issues in telling those homeless residents in that park that they'll have to clear out for the duration of the construction process. Well, President Biden is headed to Florida tomorrow. The White House announced that he's coming to look at the federal response to Hurricane Idalia this week, and there's no word on whether he'll meet with Governor DeSantis while he's here or not. Biden signed a major disaster declaration for the seven counties hit hardest by the storm yesterday. And another successful launch for SpaceX, a Falcon 9 blasting off last night at Cape Canaveral. That was carrying another 22 Starlink satellites. It's part of SpaceX's continuing goal of getting broadband internet around the world. It's 8:35 at News Radio 92.3. And Candy, how's traffic looking now?
Oh, my gosh. This is brought to you by Lowe's. I think that's the only place that there isn't an accident this morning. Johnson and Olive looks like it has been cleared and moved off to the side. 9 Mile and Fowler showing an accident, but again, not a roadblock at this time. Looks like everything is running smoothly. We had been talking about this accident all morning at Pine Forest and I-10. Now it looks like Pine Forest is backed up southbound near I-10. I don't know if it looks like it does have something to do with the accident. It's still very, very slow around that intersection, both east and westbound on I-10 near Pine Forest because of that. So use caution there and wherever you are. If you have traffic tips, text them in at 437-1620. This is brought to you by Lowe's, like I said, and you can shop Labor Day appliance savings at Lowe's. Now's the time to refresh your kitchen for less. Lowe's knows home improvement. Also watch for the accident 98 right near the turnoff for Avalon at Garcon Point Bridge. It looks like that is starting to back up as well, and that is 98 just on the other side of Avalon, and it looks like it is backed up westbound. So use caution there. Certainly, if no different. Again, if you have traffic tips, text them in 437-1620. We are News Radio, 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
We are going to be seeing scattered showers and thunderstorms throughout the day today. High chance of rain through the morning and afternoon. Rain chance sitting at about 90%, 89 for your high today. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 76 degrees. Rain chance is possible through the overnight hours. Saturday, 90% chance of rain with a high near 85. And Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 74. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And it's 81 in Pensacola, 81 also in Gulf Breeze, and just a few degrees cooler, 79 in Milton right now. We have breaking news anytime it happens, both on air and online. Get the latest news at newsradio923.com or on our app, News Radio Pensacola. You can get it on the App Store.
Keep climbing.
Daniels, four-man rush, and first got him again. Bounces to the outside of the five. He's in. Touchdown, FSU.
The season kicks off from Orlando on Sunday, September 3rd against the LSU Tigers. Kickoff is set for 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central, with pregame coverage starting at 5 Eastern, 4 Central, right here on your home for Florida State football.
FSU versus LSU, Sunday at 4 p.m. on News Radio 92.3, AM 1620.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Check out the farm-to-table vendors, arts and crafts, and unique shopping Saturday from 9 to 1 at the Highway 87 Outdoor Market at Pickett's. Find out more at getrelaxing.com. Get your beach chairs and enjoy another Cinemas in the Sand Friday night at the Gulfside Pavilion stage. It's a free event, and the greatest showman begins at sunset. Visit Pensacola.com for more. Find more events and submit yours at newsradio923.com.
Your money now. The markets are up this morning. The Dow's up 142.85 at 34,864.76. S&P 500 up 1960 at 45,27.07. And the NASDAQ is up 44.09 at 14,79.06. Our 10-year bond rate today is up just slightly at 4.13%. Gold prices also up 8.20 this morning at $1,974.10. Silver prices at $25 today. And Bitcoin down to $1,237 at $25,980. The Biden administration wants to extend mandatory overtime pay to more than 3 million salaried workers across the nation. A new rule proposed by the Labor Department would guarantee overtime for most salaried workers that earn less than $1,068 a week. Mortgage rates finally cooling down a little bit.
The 30-year fixed rate mortgage average is still over 7%, but ticked down to 7.18 after 5 weeks of increases. That's according to data from Freddie Mac. The home loan company's chief economist said that recent volatility makes it difficult to forecast where rates will go next. I'm Trey Thomas.
And Amazon workers may have to go back to the office. Amazon CEO Andy Jassy tells employees this week it's past time to disagree and commit to the policy that requires their corporate employees to be in the office now 3 days a week. The new mandate actually went into effect back in May. It's 8:39. Your next news at 9 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
News Radio Pensacola is your trusted source for hurricane coverage. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will provide you with the latest forecasts and warnings from the National Hurricane Center. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will help you find resources for disaster relief. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will interview experts on hurricane preparedness and safety. No one covers the storms like News Radio 92.3.
Everybody jump, 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 jump.
I said a hip, hop, the hibbit of a hip, hip hop, you don't stop.
Rap, rap, rap.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle up.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. So here in the studio, I have with me a couple of good friends. Julio Diaz, who you just heard on the phone about 20 minutes ago. He is with Pensacon and the Pensacola Movie Club, and he does Let's Go Pensacola Saturdays at 4. And he is also the con guy, not a con artist, but a con attendee, right?
Yeah, well, I mean,
you know, you could say con artist, but not in the same way that you would think. Like, I'm not running. I'm not running for office.
He goes to all of the conventions. He doesn't. He doesn't do the confidence scam.
Are you going
so.
To Dragon Con this year?
That is happening right now.
Yeah.
So no.
Oh, I get you're not.
I'm
okay.
here, so I'm not at Dragon Con, unfortunately. Unfortunately,
I
not that I don't love being here.
I take it.
Pensacon's way better.
Very happy to be home in Pensacola, but I do love Dragon Con, and I'm missing. I'm seeing a lot of friends posting from there, and it's like. I hate you all.
With a deep-seated seething fury. Also with us, we have Christian Wagley from Healthy Golf, another repeat offender. Christian, welcome back.
Yeah, it's always great to be here. Thank you.
Always good to have you. So I'm going to start with a Julio topic, and feel free to weigh in, Christian, because I'm concerned that when we get to you and you and I are going to fight a lot and it's going to be long, so it'll be good. But Julio, you heard, I don't know if you heard the transgressors this morning while you're driving, but the one of the ones we talked about was the portrayal of Leonard Bernstein.
Right.
By a very white, not quite blonde, but, you know, brown hair, blue-eyed Bradley Cooper, clearly not Jewish ancestry. And yet, of course, Jake Gyllenhaal, who also tried to get the rights to the movie and didn't, or the music, I guess, and who's halfway Jewish, half, literally, one parent. And Bradley Cooper is the one portraying Bernstein and directing the film, a Steven Spielberg production. And some of the criticism was, how dare a, you know, white guy take this Jewish role? And from a halfway Jewish, and wear this prosthetic that makes his nose bigger. You know, it's playing into the stereotypes or whatever. But the family is on board, and, you know, they even say Bradley Cooper's a better fit for it, right?
Remind me what the ethnicity and religious background of Steven Spielberg is.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it seems to be a fit.
If he doesn't have a problem with it, and the family doesn't have a problem, the family, in fact, has been very supportive and, in fact, said, yeah, our family member had a big nose. If he's going to accurately portray him on screen, it's going to require some prosthetics. It's not a stereotype thing when you're actually trying to invoke a person who lived. It's not like he is playing a character. That would be the difference to me.
Right.
It was something that got a lot of flack in the Harry Potter movies, where all of the bankers were these hook-nosed goblins.
Right.
You know,
you could see how that's a little leaning into a design,
that's
right?
That's a little different than this is somebody portraying a real person. If they're not like going out of the way to overly exaggerate it, Bradley Cooper has evidently put a lot of his own energy and his own person into this, making this film. It's a passion project for him. Let's see the movie.
Right. No, I love that. Let's see the evidence before we decide whether it's appropriate or accurate.
In general, I think that we've got to provide equal opportunities for people to see themselves on screen portrayed by people from those backgrounds. But that doesn't mean other actors can't play.
Well, as I mentioned in the Transgressors, I mean, you know, straight people have played gay people. Stanley Tucci's a classic example of an outstanding portrayal of gay. Gay people play straight people, you know.
Well, I talked about the movie Bottoms on the movie segment earlier, which I love. The two, or at least one of the two lead actresses, I'm not sure about the other one, but at least one of the two lead actresses who are playing lesbians in this film is not a lesbian. And has played characters of a Jewish background and has like that kind of ethnic look, but isn't Jewish.
Right, right. And so, I mean, some people who are Jewish don't really look it. Some people aren't. And look, for me, the basic element is acting is exactly the art of playing things you're not. Mm-hmm. And once you recognize that, you know, a lot of things become more fair game. So that was kind of my take. I'm glad to hear you agree about it. I know this is way outside of your zone, Christian. Do you have any thoughts? I want to ask you to.
I am way out of my zone. So I'll move on.
We'll move on. When we return in just a moment, we're going to talk about active transportation. I got advanced in my head from the A. I have some thoughts about that are not particularly favorable, but we'll talk about that in a second. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Hey, Highway 98 in Navarre looks like it is backed up east and westbound, and this is just west of Garcon Point Avalon Road there in front of the Walmart, it looks like. As we take a look at I-10, it looks like that has completely cleared up with that accident at Pine Forest. Do watch for the other accidents. Watch for emergency crews on scene, but nothing active. active right now. If you have traffic tips, text them in 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Speaking of transportation.
Thanks so much, yeah, Candy. Welcome. So the active transportation plan, which is, I'm going to try to describe this as neutral as possible, is a plan to revamp a lot of our streets in Pensacola around the idea of accommodating bicycles, being safer for bicycles and pedestrians, slowing traffic so as to make it safer, and creating a more visually appealing and livable space in which all forms of transportation get along better than a car-centric model like we have now. Fair description?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Okay. And that's why I don't like it. Because, and I know you heard me talk about this before, Christian, and that's why I wanted to have you on. The city was built by and for cars, and most of us still do drive cars. And it feels like we're trying to redesign it to be like a college campus. And if anybody's ever driven on college campuses, you know it's awful. It's unpleasant for car drivers. It's meant to be that way because it's meant to be for bikes and pedestrians and buses. And, it's already hard enough to be a car driver in this city with parking the way that it is. This would be one more thing to make those of us who drive cars dislike living in a lot of these places. But I know that's not your view. That's why I wanted to have you on. So, Christian?
Yeah, I mean, Pensacola is just the latest of literally hundreds of cities nationwide to do something like this, to come up with a plan like this, because the reality is the public largely wants communities to be more walkable and more bikeable. We've had 70 years of doing this around cars. And by the way, you know, much of the city was built for cars, but really the area south of Fairfield and down in that area was built, the older part was built before cars, and it really was inherently built around people. We then put cars over top of that, sure, and changed a lot of that.
Oh, and no doubt there's a lot of, like, car intrusion. I mean, I-110 is a ghastly intrusion on the city, of course, and, you know, I see that. For sure. Go ahead.
But, you know, after we've done it for 70 years now, it's come full circle in terms of the impacts of that. You know, I mean, 28 people died on roadways in Pensacola over the last 5 years. There's no reason for that. And that's about slowing down cars and making it safer. And that's people, that's drivers, that's pedestrians. That's about a third of those were pedestrians and cyclists. Mm-hmm. People should not be dying on roadways in cities. That's about speed and unsafe conditions. We've pushed the cars in and we've made them go too fast. If we can slow down the cars, that gives everybody a chance to react, and any accidents that happen are much much less serious. There's a program called Vision Zero that's your goal. You know, and just like one of the council members said, you know, do you want to go to a hospital whose goal is, you know, only 20 deaths a year? No, you want to go to a hospital that says we're not going to have any accidental, you know, mistake deaths a year. And so cities can be that way as well. And if we revamp the infrastructure and make them safer.
You know, I've done a lot of traveling this year. I've gone to a lot of cities with some really great downtowns, and a lot of them do have this kind of thing set up, and I think it works really well. And I do find that when I'm out of town, I am walking a lot, and I enjoy that. I think there's a balance. I think we do have to take our cars into consideration as well as our bikes. I would also like to see a plan that's going to make things more safe for bikes also needs to take into account that bikers need to make things more safe for themselves. It's an issue.
Absolutely.
It's an issue I have with bicyclists and motorcyclists, where they think the rules of the road don't apply to them, and they are supposed to follow the same rules of the road that everybody else follows. Bicyclists are not supposed to ride on sidewalks. I don't know if people realize that, and it drives me crazy when I'm walking down a sidewalk and they're on your left. No. You are supposed to be in the street. If we have a bike lane, great, because then there's really no excuse. I still see it even with bike lanes. I think there's a balance there. I like that we're doing this. I think it makes us a more forward-looking city. I do think people are looking for that. I agree. But yeah, there's got to be a balance.
So what I see is an extremely expensive, typically. It's not like what they did on Pace, where they basically narrowed the lanes and just restriped. Okay, that's fairly cheap. But a lot of times the acquisition of right-of-way, the repaving, the creating of barriered, you know, actually buffered lanes, and what seems to be proposed for several of the major streets around the area would not be just restriping. It would be much more invasive than that. So that's very expensive. And I think a lot of times the end result of the effort to seem like we've created a bike-friendly space, as somebody who bicycles for recreation, not for transportation, it doesn't, like, I bicycle and still don't feel safe. Now, granted, you know, Jackson Street, it's a death-defying experience, okay? Or Chemukla Highway, where we bike all over the place. These are genuinely dangerous situations, and I want to see at least more shoulder or something like that. That would make sense. But again, how many people? I agree, Christian, people do get killed, but
how many people really bicycle for transportation, even when the infrastructure is there? It seems like a very disproportional amount of spending for the very few people who would do it compared to we don't have roads that are properly repaved, period, and we're spending money on this.
Well, I mean, there's nothing more expensive than supporting cars. Look at the, you look at the money from any community, the amount of money that's spent on car-dependent infrastructure is massive. I mean, what was the bridge was $450 million or something like that. I mean, and of course, now it's got a bike area, which is great and being heavily used. But about 10% of the city's population, people have no car. So they are forced, they have no choice but to walk and bike mm-hmm. and use transit. About 28% of the population has some kind of disability that limits their ability to drive and move around that way. So it's certainly taking care of that. But I think one of the greatest things, and Julio kind of touched on it, it's economic development, actually. And Mayor Reeves gets this and talks about this, because if you want to attract and retain the youngest and best and brightest workers, this is what they want. And if you can't provide that for them, they're going to go somewhere else that has that. And a very famous example of that, the most famous suburban office park in America was started in the 60s called Research Triangle Park outside Raleigh-Durham.
Uh-huh.
That was the place to be for like 30, 40 years. They can't get workers. People won't come out and work. The young people won't work there because it's boring for them. It's a big suburban building with a duck pond and you know, parking lot in front, and then you go down and there's another one, and then there's another one, and they have to get in a car to do anything. They're literally having to build a downtown in the middle of it with housing and restaurants and shops and everything walkable to try to get workers, because the talent won't come out there anymore. Talent wants to be where there's a brew pub on the corner, there's a coffee shop they can walk to, they can hop on a bike. There's that sense of place and all that. They don't want a suburban office park.
If you build it, they will come.
But those of us who are already here will leave.
I don't know that that's true.
I mean, I don't live downtown. It's great for the people who live there, but, you know, the kind of downtowns you're talking about, which are wonderful as a visitor, as you said, when you're out of town as a visitor. I mean, you're a visitor, you're typically, you might not even have transportation of your own, you might not have a car, but, you know, and look, and it's like I lived on the University of Illinois. I lived on the campus. And when you live on a college campus that, and even that one is fairly pro-car, okay, by standards, you know, but like UWF, you know, they want to get you out of your car. And, you know, it's hard to be a visitor there. It's, you know, they discourage you with parking and everything else. It's unpleasant to go to UWF in a car. And I just feel like we're creating a city that is, again, it's already car hostile with the parking. And so many people are, well, I don't even go downtown anymore because I don't want to deal with that. And it just seems like more in that direction. And I guess, Christian, I would be okay-er with it in the, like, south of Garden vicinity. But, you know, don't destroy Creighton for me. You know, don't destroy Scenic for me because of the few accidents that happen.
I think there's a question of how much of the parking complaint is actual parking complaint versus people just not wanting to pay to park.
I am also because, in that category.
Because let's be honest, 10 years ago, you could park almost anywhere downtown for free.
Right.
You can't do that anymore.
You have to walk a couple blocks.
But we're so much more affordable parking-wise than pretty much any city that you can name. You know, I admit I'm a little spoiled. I work downtown. I have an office that I can park at for free. Mm-hmm. But, you know, anywhere else you go, you're going to pay to park downtown. Do we maybe need a few more parking lots? Probably. But once you're down there, the car just sits there all day and you're walking around downtown. You need the pedestrian space. There's a balance there. And I do think it becomes a question of how much do you gain versus how much do you lose. If you lose 20 people that say, well, I'm not going downtown anymore, but you gain 50 residents downtown.
Got a couple of texts coming in. Somebody texted me. There's a significant difference between planning and developing a walkable, inclusive community from scratch versus trying to simply remove cars from an existing community. Somebody else texted in here and said it's a stupid idea to make it more walkable for a bicycle. It would cost too much. Honestly, I think it'd be cheaper to hire a few more law enforcement to just patrol the traffic. Somebody says, let's see, we already have somewhere that you can drive to and then walk a lot. It's called the mall. Somebody, I love our pithy callers. Somebody says, revamp the auto-centric infrastructure to accommodate bicycles that are mostly out 3 to 4 months out of the year. Oh, yeah, the heat issue is another one. We'll talk about that. Somebody here says, talent wants to be remote and on their own home space. And I think that's part of the idea is create an environment where they want to live and walk around when they're not doing their remote work. Somebody says our downtown is becoming unbearable with all of this. And last one here, need to take into consideration the weather and the heat. Even young people don't want to walk or bike in this blankety blank heat. 8:55 on News Radio 92.3. We'll come back in just a second. Candy's got traffic on the fives with a bicycle update, I'm sure.
I do not have a bicycle update, but it looks like you're good to go know wherever you are, that accident, I-10 and Pine Forest, it looks like that has completely been cleared, so we're not showing any problems there. 9 Mile, and it looks like University now showing an accident, but not a roadblock this morning. And then another accident right near Garson Point Road and Highway 98 and Gulf Breeze, and it looks like it is back open, just kind of slow in that area. You see an accident or a slowdown, 437, or you want to weigh in, 437-1620, you can text in. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Yeah, let's talk about specifically the heat issue, because, you know, we're one of the rainiest cities in the country, and we certainly get an enormous amount of hot days where, you know, even if I were willing to bike to work, and I live close enough, I could bike to work. It's a little inconvenient, but it's certainly close enough. I recognize I'm not going to do it on Burgess on the west side of 110, because that's a terrifying place to ride a bike. But so I get that. But so many days it's impossible because of the heat or because of the rain.
I think there's more days it's good than bad days. You know, we have a pretty mild climate. There are some really hot days. I live downtown. I walk and bike pretty much just about every day. I'm usually able to adjust around the weather. If I have to, I'll Uber it. If I have to, I've taken the bus before. I do have a car. I'll drive it occasionally if I have to. But it's just all about gearing up, right, with the right kind of clothing. Sometimes you change once you get to work, kind of a thing. The bicycle is incredibly efficient. You can go. It's the most efficient form of transportation the world has ever known. Okay, and so you can go really far with very little effort.
But it's still got to be built to handle the rainy days and the hot days when people are all in their cars, so you still have to build it for the cars anyway, right?
Build the city, the infrastructure.
Yeah.
Well, I think over time you're going to start seeing shifting more and more in the downtown area. You mentioned suburban areas. Those are going to take the longest to retrofit, and I think you retrofit them for safety right now. You slow down the cars, but those are places that weren't built from cars from the start. Downtown was not. It was built for people from the start, no question about it. We've shoved the cars on top of that.
I will say, as somebody who does walk just about every day, and I go to a park to walk, I don't just walk the streets usually. There's
You're not a street walker?
Well, I mean, yeah.
Don't you do it?
It depends on the price, to be completely honest. You know, I might be open to the right offer. But no, seriously, on rainy days, on days where the weather is inclement, I have gone and walked the mall. It is not as easy to walk or as friendly to walk as the texter may assume that it is.
Okay. All right.
I would just add that in there.
That's true. It's like salmon swimming upstream.
And the walking hours are limited. I have literally been, it was really funny because I literally got kicked out of Cordova Mall for being in there too early once. I was like, I haven't been kicked out of a mall since the 80s.
Oh, happy day. Yeah.
Yeah, so it was like, wow.
You got kicked out for being a walker instead of for the misbehavior. That's hilarious.
But look, Andrew, the more pleasant we make the built environment, the less the temperature matters. You know, think about when you go to Savannah, when you go to historic Charleston, there's trees along the street that shade you. There's interesting things to look at along the way. The cars are calmed down. We do have these things called umbrellas as well, which you can always carry along and pop out when you need it. Yeah,
not sure what you mean.
So when the built environment's really pleasant like that, the temperature matters a lot less. It's just so much more pleasant to move around that way. And humans are made to walk. And when we don't walk, we actually get sick. I mean, our bodies fall apart. We get very sick. And this is the way we're made to interact with each other. We're social creatures. Try interacting with people in your car, right? That doesn't work very well, especially in a friendly
way. And I will
say
this. You see, the reason my wife and I bike so much is it's good exercise, it's a good date, but it's also a different way to see everything. Mm-hmm. And we see a lot that way. And there is something, I won't say magical, but beneficial. Health-wise and visually, mentally, even the pace of something like walking or biking is different than the pace of, you know, driving in a car. So, I mean, I see all that. Great conversation. Julio walks the street. Somebody here says the paid parking cost downtown is beyond outrageous. Somebody else says downtown seems to be becoming a gated community for the elites who can afford to live there. I mean, it's... There's some element of truth in that.
Yeah, I mean, it is expensive to live downtown. I would love to live downtown, and I can't afford to.
So how about supply and demand? If we build more, there's a lot of demand for walkable places, and there's not enough supply. There you go.
All right. Well, Christian, I love having this conversation. That's great. I don't know how much you've moved me, but I'm listening. You know, I'm willing. Christian Wagley with Healthy Golf, Julio Diaz. Thanks, gentlemen.
Thank you.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3. WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.